Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. Happy Monday to you. Oh boy, I'm trying to talk better. I'm going to voice lessons right now, and this voice is not working for me. It's from the back of my throat, and it doesn't do me any favors. What's it called? Vocal fry? So I have to, now I want to be aware of my breath on my vocal cords going into my mouth. It's all about your breath inside your mouth. That's what I'm learning how to sing. You like propel your breath into your mouth, right behind your teeth, and the higher you make your soft palate, then the higher you can make noises. I don't know. It's all very confusing. I go to these voice lessons every Saturday, and I sing with this woman, and it has been quite an experience because I am forced to do something I'm terrible at. Like, I'm really forced to sing some stuff that is out of my vocal range. My voice is cracking. It sounds fucking awful. And it's hard because my range is like somewhere down here. Like, I do better with like lower stuff, and she's making me sing all this high stuff, and I sound bad, really, really bad. And I just want to fucking throw my pickleball racket down and stomp off the court. But it's forcing me to just persevere and to like get past the uncomfortableness. And I actually talked to her a lot about that. Because while I'm singing, I will start to like almost hyperventilate because I sound so bad. And in my head, I'm like, you sound like crap. You're bad at this. And then I start thinking about every bad thing that's going on in my life. It's really weird. I get really meditative when I'm singing these like weird folk hymns. Like, I was singing Shenandoah. And in my head, I was thinking about everything I had to do that day, everything I was had to do tomorrow, all the things I have to do next week. Oh my God, you need to find a place to live. Oh my God, you need to pick out a car. I mean, all of these thoughts are coming up while I'm also trying to be aware of my breath and where it is in my mouth, and not, it's just, singing is fucking complex, dude. It's like playing an instrument. It's very hard, and I'm not good at it. I have enough of a natural ability that it got me in the fucking room, but that's like saying that you have arms and so you can play tennis. It doesn't really mean anything. Technically, my voice is garbage, and I'm going to work at it, and it's going to be better, but it's a long road ahead of me, and it's so frustrating because I thought I walked in with a lot more talent than I do have. But it was therapeutic because I ended up talking to her about how, like, this is helping me get past all the things. If I'm not good at something right away, I want to give up, and I'm not giving this up because I pay for the lesson and I have to get through it. An hour of just like singing, and I know how to get through a lesson and not get anything done. I'm maybe an expert in that because I took guitar lessons a lot in my life, and I wouldn't practice. I would go into the lesson not having practiced, embarrassed, mad at myself, and thinking, how the fuck am I going to get through this hour? It's like, I haven't done anything since the last time I met this dude. And the last time I met this dude, I was worthless. So I'm just going to, this is a waste of his time. It's a waste of my parents' money. And so instead of being a disappointment to him, I would just gawk over his skills and then have him just fill the lesson with him doing like riffs and me going, whoa, so tell me more about that. And just having him like talk about himself. Oh, hour's up. We didn't do anything. Oh no. And then I would walk out with my little guitar and I would wait in the parking lot for my mom to come pick me up. But in the music lesson, I know how I can be, she likes to talk too, and I can get her going off on a subject so I can waste time. But we're not wasting time. When we talk about stuff, it generally is like about my emotions around singing. It's very emotional, and singing is emotional. Music is emotional, and that's why it's all tied together. And I was good at comedy right away. That's why I stuck with it. Thank fucking God I found something that I was naturally good at. I don't know what I would be doing now. But singing is really hard. And I compare myself to Taylor Swift, and I know I shouldn't. And like really good singers, And you just, there's no winning there. They're so good. And I just get so mad at myself because my voice does not do what I want it to do. I felt that way in acting classes too. And that's really frustrating because it's just talking, you know, and it's just rehashing emotions that you have already lived. And all you have to do is like find those emotions and then do them again. And that's what frustrates me about like playing guitar. It's like I have the same fingers as a really good guitarist. I have the same muscle groups. I have total ambidextrousness, dexterity. You know, like when you look at someone, you're like, I have all the things they have. Why can't I just do it? And of course, it's about skill and practice and accruing like muscle memory and all that stuff. But on paper, I just should be able to do it. And that's what, so many acting classes, I would just sob out in. And it would just, and I feel it's weird because I would feel the same way in the singing class. I'm just a little bit stronger now and a little bit better at pushing my emotions down. But I almost burst into tears at this lesson because I was just feeling so bad about myself. And I remember taking an acting class in 2006 when I moved to LA, and I just cried so much in front of my whole class because I could not get it down. I could not get out. I knew what I wanted to do and it wouldn't come out of my head. It's so frustrating. And that's how I feel with music. Why doesn't the sound that I want to make come out? If you ever recorded yourself singing, like sometimes I sing and I think I sound amazing and then you record yourself and you listen back and you're like, holy fuck. I did that with my stand-up comedy act from January. I listened back to that thing. I'm like, oh no, you thought you were good? What's the answer? I mean, honestly, the answer to happiness for me is not ever listening to myself. Not in like my own, like not, I do need to start listening to myself in terms of like when I don't want to do something, saying no to it. I've done a good job of it this weekend, bad job in some ways. I'll get into that in a second. But listening to myself on recording, no good. Only makes me feel bad. Brings me truly no relief. It is good to do because you learn from it and eventually get used to hearing your own voice and you get past it and you can kind of have a objective opinion of yourself. But that it brings me nothing but bad stuff to listen to myself or to watch myself. The other night I was on To Tell the Truth on ABC, NBC, whatever the fuck, CBS. I don't remember. I think it was ABC. And we shot it in November. And boy, I was just like really hard on myself watching it. My parents made me watch it because I don't let them watch anything when I've been on TV a lot of times since I've been home. And it's always like airing in the next room. And I'm like, you can record it and you can watch it when I'm not around, but I don't want to be here for it. Don't like watching myself. And they're always like, why? And I'm like, because I already feel like a fraud. And when I see it, it only confirms it. There's been times that I get to watch myself and I go, oh, it's not as bad as you thought. But generally it's as bad as I thought or worse. So it's just not good for me to watch. But I watched To Tell the Truth the other night and I was disturbed at the veins coming out of my neck. I thought one of my eyes looked lazy from having injections in my face, which it did. I looked weird. I had too much work done. I don't think many other people would notice it, but to me, it really stood out. And I was like, and I was mad. I learned, you know what, actually, it was good to watch because I learned a lot. I learned that the next time I go on TV and I'm going to be on camera, even when I don't think the camera's on me, keep having a good time. Because so often when you do those game shows, it's really cold in the studio and I'm always fucking freezing. And when I'm freezing, I'm in a bad mood. And they're really long shows and the taping usually takes a really long time. And sometimes you can get bored and distracted and annoyed, even though you're making so much money for just being there playing a game show. And I should be grateful. Sometimes it's hard to like keep a chipper demeanor. And the next time I do one, boy, I'm going to be a little chipper chipmunk the whole time. I'm going to be smiling and having a good time. I'm going to force enthusiasm because that looks better on camera. And I was watching myself being like, come on, bitch, cheer up. But I think I was just depressed that day. I don't know what about, but it kind of showed on my face. It was a good show, though. I was pretty funny on it, even though some of my jokes went over people's heads. And not because they were so brilliant, but because they were just too weirdly subtle for like a game show. And you need to, you can't be really be subtle in those moments. You really got to come out like with a big old punchline and make bigger, more obvious jokes. I'm nervous tonight because I have a roast to do. Elon Gold, comedian, friend of mine, is turning 50. And it's his birthday today, or tomorrow, yesterday, when you're hearing this. And he's doing a roast tonight for his birthday where everyone's doing a minute of roast jokes. I've written a couple, not enough. I got asked to do it. I'm mad that I said yes. I mean, I'm glad I did because I love Elon. He's been so good to me and so nice to me. Really hasn't gotten me anything in the – I mean, not good to me in that sense. But he's always been very encouraging of me and made me feel very good about myself, which is what friendship is about. Not in this business, though. Give me something, Elon. No, he's always inviting me to things, and he's just a really nice guy. So I'm happy to be I said yes immediately, and now the day has come to roast him, and I am not prepared. I feel resentful that I have to, like, put on makeup and probably wash my hair, which I haven't done since – Tuesday. It is now Sunday. I hate washing my hair, as you guys know, because it all falls out and I get stressed out about it. But I haven't written any jokes yet. I wrote a couple. I wrote that I think Elon thinks we're better friends than we are because I always call him buddy. And it's not because I'm your friend. It's because I don't know how to pronounce your fucking first name. Is it Elon or Elon? And then I'm going to say something else. Or is it E? Like I was thinking of a joke, like, is it a soft E or a hard E? And then I want to make some joke off of hard E. And I know it's probably going to be a dick joke, but so there's some joke there. This is how I work jokes. It's like, I just think of like little like areas. There's another joke I want to make about, so many celebrities on this. You know, Jay Leno's doing it, Tiffany Haddish, Bob Saget, me. You know, who said no to this? That's who I want to know. And how? How did they say no? Who's their therapist? Can I talk to that person? How do you have the self-esteem to turn this down and to literally do anything better with your time? I live with my parents. And this is annoying for me to do. I have nothing more to do than to go in the other room and watch season 2 of The Good Place, which is actually a real slog to get through. I don't know. These are all just me. Attempting. These are just areas I want to go into. But he does a lot of voices. He does Stern. He does Jeff Goldblum, so I'll probably make a joke about that. But I really don't know how to pronounce his first name, and every time I see him, I freak out about his name. I don't know what to say, Elon or Elon, because either one is like is right. There's one that's right, and one that is gonna sound weird to him. And so I always just go, "Hey, buddy," and I think that's why he thinks we're closer. I mean, that joke is just true. Have you guys seen that new Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma, yet? I watched it with my parents last night. We watched the first half. I like to split up movies. Movies are too damn long. And it leaves you wanting more. You're excited to get back to it. I like everything to be in small little increments. Like I said, I've been watching The Good Place. My parents and I are watching it. Season 2, guys. I don't know. Season 1 really was gripping. I loved it so much. I'm really having a hard time having fun in season 2. We are going to stick through it, but I need your support during this time. The Social Dilemma is the movie that kind of goes along with the book, Irresistible, which I recommend so much more than the movie. Everyone after I talked about the book Irresistible, not everyone, but a lot of people DM'd me and said, hey, check out the movie The Social Dilemma. And I've only seen, you know, the first 46 minutes of it, but it's not as good as the book. It's just scratching the surface of this book that is not hard to read. It's actually a fascinating read. And I'm only halfway through the book, but I've already gotten way more out of the book than I did the movie. But the movie's good, and it's a good place to start if you want to just educate yourself about how this shit is programmed to make us all feel terrible about ourselves. It's designed that way. It's designed so that we feel insecure and it fucks with our brains. And they know we get addicted to it and they like that we do and they design it that way. It's so bad. Like I've said last week, I took Instagram off my phone, I think last Monday, and I have no plans of putting it back on my phone. I re-download it every time that I want to post something and then I take it off again. It actually is on my phone now. I'm lying when I say that. But I have a limit on the app now. 40 minutes of social media a day. It's annoying because you can't set a limit for an individual app. You can just set them for like Twitter and Instagram, and then you give it a time limit, and it's like between those two things you can set a time limit. So yesterday I set 20 minutes and I wanted 20 minutes for each of them, which I thought is what I was doing. Then I got kicked off after I used up 20 minutes for both of them and I was annoyed. So I put another 20 minutes on. So it's 40 minutes a day for social media. That is it. So I'm in and out. I run in like I'm going in a grocery store without a mask on. I get in and I don't look at anything. I don't scroll. I don't want to see anything that's triggering, and I get the fuck out. I check my DMs to see if anyone with a blue check mark has DM'd me. Maybe my future husband. No, I check my DMs and then I leave and then I post a little thing or two. But yeah, you got to check out The Social Dilemma. I actually, there's just the people that created all the things we're using are on in this movie, just talking about how they're designed. And there's this one guy, Tristan, I think is how he pronounced it, Tristan Harris, who is really growing on me. I think he's adorable. I like followed him on Twitter just to be like, hey, what's up? And he's the one that's like cracking it all open. And he's really great and fascinating and has a lot of good stuff to say. And then there's this other guy from Facebook who is really hot. And I definitely Googled him, but he's like, as I'm Googling him and writing in married, you know how you Google someone and you type in wife? As I'm writing that on the documentary, he's like, and I try not, and I'm tucking my two children into bed. And I'm like, never mind. Like how I'm watching these documentaries about like these horrifying things. And I'm like, you know, combing for dick. Dick that I'm not even open to. I mean, like, let's be honest with ourselves. I am not open to anyone right now. Got asked to go on a hike last night. Said no to that for this morning. Instead, I went to Starbucks this morning and I wrote 36 cards to people who bought things from the postal U.S. Postal Service. Like about a month ago, I posted something online that said, if you buy something from USPS.com and send me the receipt, I will send you a thank you card to the first 20 people. Well, I got inundated immediately with so many people that bought stuff. And I pretty much just screenshotted for a while everyone that sent me a DM. And I think it's something like 55 or 60. So I'm more than halfway through all of the cards I had to write. So many. My hand felt like it was going to fucking fall off today. But I wrote like really nice cards to literally everyone. So it was nice to do though. It feels good to like write a letter. I was writing bizarre things. I mean, people are going to get cards from me that are going to make them concerned for my health. My mental health. And my physical health. Just coughing all over the cards. Splattering the ink. No, I was in a Starbucks. I had a mask on. And I wasn't coughing. Because my friend Michael Anthony, he's a local comic here. He has a great joke about how he's like, I haven't coughed in 5 months. He's like, I do all my coughing at home. Like, you gotta do everything. You gotta wait until you get home in the privacy of your home. It's like racism now. You can only be racist inside. He's a black guy, so you can say that. But yeah, so I did that today. I was supposed to go on a run tomorrow. I just got asked to go on a run by the guy down the street, the neighborhood kid. He texted me, hey, do you want to go on a walk or run around with your dogs at, and then he said, the school that I live by tonight. And I said, no. I said, thanks for asking me, but I'm going to pass. And I feel guilty about it because why can't I go on a run with a nice guy who likes me? And it's because I don't feel lovable. Maybe. I don't really want to get to know anyone right now because I don't feel really good about the state of my life. Maybe. I like being with my parents more than new people. Definitely. I want to watch the rest of The Social Dilemma. Yes. I need to write jokes for the Elon Gold roast that is giving me no money and it's literally 60 seconds and I'm probably going to overwrite it so much and it doesn't matter. And yes, I just don't want to hang out with anyone. That's not true. I did enough socializing last week. But I like being alone. I really, really like being alone. I did a Zoom hang with my girlfriends on Friday. That was really fun. We all had a really good time. I don't know. I like that. I would like to keep that. But I don't know. I'm not dying to hang out one-on-one with people. Certainly not any boys. And I'm 36. I mean, I should be putting myself out there a little bit more. But that's why I'm trying to get a reality show to force me to hang out with men. Not just men, women too. And not romantically. I mean, just like as friends. I don't know what's going on with me. But you know what I think is going on with me is the goddamn phone. I'm watching the Social Dilemma show. And they said that millennials who are addicted to their phones don't go on dates. Millennials aren't like meeting each other. They're not dating. They don't have at all. Like there's a huge drop in it because people are so isolated with their phones. I would rather be on my phone than with people. It has gotten to that. Something wrong there, but I feel it. And now that I'm not on Instagram, all I want to do is just go read books on my phone alone in my room. It is my biggest joy. I love it. I've been getting into books so much again and just really like kind of becoming one of those girls that like, you know, Belle in Beauty and the Beast, her head's stuck in a book. Okay, that's okay to do when you're like an adolescent girl and you're going through like a phase and you don't have any friends and you feel like your books are your only friends, or the spider in your fucking bathroom named Trevor who hasn't been around for 3 days. Yeah, Trevor, I'm talking to you wherever you are right now, no longer living behind my toothbrush holder. I used to see Trevor every single day. For 3 days, Trevor and I had a thing going on. I was like really getting along with the spider in my bathroom. I'd accepted that he was there to stay. He had accepted me. He was not scurrying away every time I ran in. Like seriously, I was building a rapport with this fucking insect, arachnid. And then all of a sudden one day he just is gone 2 days ago. And it was right after I told my dad about him. I finally confessed to my dad that I had made friends with a spider in my bathroom named Trevor. And then my dad asked me about Trevor yesterday and I was like, I don't want to talk about it. I haven't seen him for a couple days. And it's true. Every time I go in there, I like turn on the light and I go, and then he's not there. And just his web is there. His web of lies. What was I saying? Yeah, so I've been reading like a fuck ton. But I love it. I love it. But then at what point, I was talking to my therapist the other day. I was like questioning everything about everything I do, anything I enjoy. I think I have a problem and I have to quit it. And I feel like I'm being antisocial, which reading is antisocial for sure. Because I like reading in my bedroom, under the covers, laying on my stomach with my sleep mask right above my eyes so that when I get tired enough, I pull it down and boom, I'm out. I have my white noise machine blaring as I'm reading. You want to hear what it sounds like when I'm reading? This. And then I read, and it's the best. I'm reading a couple books right now. Let me walk you through them. Irresistible, I'm reading that. I'm 47% of the way through on that. Like I said, I'm reading Utopia Avenue by David Mitchell. My dad and I are both reading that. It's okay. I downloaded the sample, and I got through that pretty quickly. That's what you can do on your phone. If you want to just try out books, you can download the sample. And it gets you about 40 pages in. And he has the library book. And he's really like weird about me. Like if he catches that I'm reading his library book, he's going to be like, get your own book. I just know it. So I have to sneak his library book to catch up with him because I don't want to download it because it's $15. And I'm like, this book isn't good enough to spend $15 on, but I'm going to have to because he's getting mad at me about it. And then I'm reading this book about a girl. Let me pull up the cover. It's really obnoxious, to be honest with you. I'm kind of annoyed with this book. And so many people have recommended it to me over the years, honestly. People have recommended it to me because it's about a girl with, bulimia, anorexia, memoir. It's called Wasted. And it's by Maria. Wasted. M-A-R-Y-A. Maria Hornbacher. And it's really visceral. It's just about this little girl who catches an eating disorder when she's like very young, way younger than I was. And it's all about bulimia. And then she switches to anorexia, which for me, I started with anorexia when I was 18. And then I switched to bulimia for like a year. But she just goes into like visceral description of it. And I'm kind of a little bit reluctant. I think it's actually making me have like a little bit of slip back into behaviors because it's reminding me, it's romanticizing it a lot, which is dangerous. And I hate these books. I used to read these books when I was anorexic. I used to read all of these memoirs, which I can't believe I haven't read this one. I don't know when it came out though. Came out in 1998. And she was like 8 years out of her eating disorder, she said, which to me didn't seem like long enough. And I feel like a little bit like she's still in it. I don't know. I just tend to think that people aren't fully recovered from things that they brag about being recovered from, because as someone who has not been fully recovered from an eating disorder and talked about it like I was, I know that we can lie to ourselves. Yeah, the behavior can get better, but you're still doing weird stuff with food. And it's not that I don't trust people with eating disorders, but I have been a person that has it, and we're good fucking liars. And so, I don't know, I'm reading this book and I'm flying through it. It's really, really good. But if you struggle with eating disorders, I do not recommend it. If you are currently struggling with one, don't read it. It's very triggering and it might get you to slip back into old behavior, because I used to read these books and take notes and get ideas. So I think this book has probably done more, a lot of harm, not more harm than good. I don't want to say that. But it's not great for me, and I got to pay attention to that. It's good for me to even talk about it on this thing, because I'm hearing myself say it out loud. And I'm like, yeah, why do you like to like go in your room and be alone with this fucking book? And in the book, she is a girl that goes alone in her room and like spends hours and hours reading. And I'm like, oh my God. And that's why I think I'm feeling guilty about the reading thing. I'm like, oh, that's really like diseased behavior, and I don't want to be like that. When really I just like reading a book. Really? Like, do I have to judge that so harshly? But I have to question every decision I make. This weekend I said a lot. I didn't do stand-up comedy, which I was going to go do. I didn't go on a hike for a boy that asked me to hang out. I didn't. I feel like I haven't been very social this weekend. And I don't know what I did, but I felt pretty busy. But I just feel bad. I feel guilty about the choices I've made, even though I made choices that I thought were good for me in the moment. You know, I had a good weekend. Why do I have to ruin it by being like, well, you didn't do this and you didn't do that? I did a lot. I was supposed to run 22 miles tomorrow. Thank God I'm not doing that. It's my brother-in-law's birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Matt. He's 35, and I went over to his house yesterday after my singing lesson, because they live by the place that I go for that. And I drop by, and he goes, oh, it's my birthday on Monday. I'm 35. I'm going to run a 35K. And I go, that's like 21 miles or something. He's like, it's 22. I'm like, Jesus Christ. He goes, you want to do it? And I'm like, don't fucking ask me that. He goes, come on, you could do it. We did 13. Did you suffer after that? And I was like, no, I didn't. I'm not going to say it was easy, because during it was hard, but it was the kind of hard that was like really rewarding and like not undoable for me. Like it was actually really, really fun to accomplish something that was that hard. But it wasn't, I could do 22 miles. I know I could. So I said, yeah, let's do it. He talked me into it. I was like, I'm going to run 22 miles with him and his boss friend. He has a friend who's also his boss. And they do, that guy does like ultra marathons. So 22 miles is nothing for that dude. So we're going to do 22 miles tomorrow, Monday, when you're listening to this. I was supposed to be running. And then Matt today came over and goes, I can't do the run. I stepped on a skewer. And I was like, my voodoo doll worked. I was like, thank fucking God, because I would have been running 22 miles. We're going to do it next weekend, I think. I know that's insane. But I just need to do – I want to do something that's – I felt so alive after I did the 13 miles. And if I do 22 miles, I'll know I'll be able to do a marathon. I don't ever really need to do a marathon. I know I'm trying to divorce myself from having these goals, because that's one of the things I'm reading about in the book Irresistible, which I really recommend. It's like – we set these goals for ourselves. We have these fitness watches on that make us feel bad about not doing 10,000 steps a day. And so we go out even when we're tired and we do things we don't want to do. And goals are just, they're killing us and they're making our lives miserable. And, but it's honestly not a goal of mine to run 22.78 miles. I would only do it because I honestly think it would be fun. So I'm going to do it next weekend. But I am not doing, man, I was going to do it right as you're probably listening to this. I was going to be on a run. And I'm so grateful I'm not. I don't know what I'm doing right now, but it ain't that. I hope you're having a great day. And I hope we have a great week together here on the podcast. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Squirt, squirt, jackpot.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.